The love of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple.
Welcome to The Simple Truth. You did not tune in by accident. This show is dedicated to all believers in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like there's something missing from your walk with the Lord? Are you tired of being deceived? Then you've come to the right place. Grab your Bible and let us introduce you to the real Jesus. Our mission is to help you unravel the Scriptures and gain a greater understanding of God's Word, showing you how the Old and the New Testaments mesh together so perfectly. All of life's questions are answered in God's Word. So throw out any preconceived notions and any traditions of man, and join us as we search for God's truth. This is what you've been looking for.
Well, greetings, friends. We got Mark and Ted back again today. We're continuing on with God's Word. What does it mean? We're talking about the Bible that Jesus read, the Old Testament. We spoke yesterday about the prophecy where Moses told the people God said he was going to raise up a prophet like him from among their brethren, and how both Stephen and Peter were showing us that Jesus was this prophet. We're talking about how it's very important to understand the biblical definition for the words. In other words, that we don't look at the New Testament. Here's what happens in most churches. They have all the emphasis on the New Testament. They ignore the Old, so they come up with their own definitions for their own terminology, irrespective of God's holy scriptures, the Old Testament, and they assign faulty definitions to the words. So then, therefore, having done this, their theology is corrupt. And what do they use to back up their theology? Well, they've got professors and PhDs that, piled higher and deeper. They go out and write volumes of material based off of this corrupt theology, and then they point back to Professor so-and-so who wrote this book as evidence that they're correct. Now, I'm sure some people out there are saying, well, so what do you do that's so much better? Well, see, we point back to, well, what does Isaiah say this means? What does Ezekiel say this means? What does Daniel say this means? What does Moses say this means? I think those guys have much more authority than any PhD that man can come up with, because God picked these guys, the Moseses, etc., the prophets, the Davids. God picked them and inspired them to write. He told them, they'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and then, this is what he did.
But, Mark, you know what kind of reasoning those churches are doing when they refer back to their own other theologians as proof? It's called a circular reasoning. It's kind of like in the false theory of evolution, when they analyze rock strata, they say, well, how do you know the age of this layer of rock? Well, you can tell by the fossils that are in there, because we know, how old those fossils are. And then you ask, well, how do you know the age of those fossils? Well, we can tell by what rock strata they're found in. That's circular reasoning. It doesn't work,
but that's exactly what they do with their theology, and that's why it's so screwed up, and that's why it doesn't agree with what the Bible says. So, no, we're not so smart. No, we're not geniuses. But I'll tell you one thing. I take the definitions from the men that God picked and recorded them in his book that he gave us called the Bible. And I'll ignore what Professor so-and-so says. Now, if Professor so-and-so happens to have that one right, hey, fantastic, That's great. But he's not my authority. My authority is Moses, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Hezekiah, Hosea. Those are the authorities that I use. And I'm hoping that those are the authorities that everybody that's listening will start to use. Because you know why? Those are the authorities that Paul and the writers of the New Testament, John, James, Jude, those are their authorities. If you were to look in their footnotes, you know, footnotes are a modern thing. You have to professors that come up with this, you know, you always put the little footnotes in the document for your sources. Well, if you would look at the footnotes of the New Testament writers, in fact, it's very easy to do that. Just get a reference Bible, and you'll see. Now, more than two-thirds of the New Testament comes from the Old.
Yeah, someone in the church made a study of it. You know, they went over every verse they could and referred it back to the Old Testament where it came from, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that he missed, because there's a lot of paraphrase stuff in there that what they were requoting from the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Well, let's go on and let's look and pick up where we left off yesterday, and let's see if Jesus agreed with the things that we were saying, and as far as the prophet and Peter and Stephen were saying about him.
Let's read from John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me."
Wow. You know, I wonder if most people in the world realize this. They picture him coming and doing away with the law. You know, this is the way the church of the world sees it. God gave these harsh laws that no one could keep. Jesus came and died for our sins so that we didn't have to keep these harsh laws that no one could keep. But Jesus said that his doctrine is not his, but his who sent me. In other words, his Father. Jesus said the doctrine wasn't his. The doctrine was his Father's. In John 12:49, he says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Here, Jesus said that the words that he said weren't his. He only said and did things that his Father told him to say and do.
And I notice it says, "And I know that his command is everlasting life." In other words, keeping his commands will help you attain everlasting life.
You know, he goes on in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So here again he says that the word isn't his, it's his Father's, and if we love him, we'll keep his word. Now what's his word? His Father's word. What's his Father's word? Well, see, that's what the church wants to reject, is old and harsh and something that doesn't apply to us that we don't have to keep. But that's the exact opposite of what Jesus said.
You know, what's so hard to understand here? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Well, I'd say we should keep his word. If we don't keep him, then we don't love him. So where does the church get out of saying that his word or his law is done away with? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. You know, Jesus tells us that everything he said and did come directly from God. But people don't want to believe this. They think that Jesus did away with all the commandments and he inserted new ones of his own. New Testament commandments. The Old Testament commandments are done away with. You know, they'll take you into Galatians or some other letter written by Paul. But let me ask a question. Now, before I say this, Paul was not doing this, but they think that, you know, Paul recorded things that are changed and different. Can Paul overrule Jesus or God? Can Paul say, you know, "Well, in the Old Testament it says this, but I say to you, do that"?
No way.
Paul does not have the authority to do that. If Paul, no, he didn't do it, but if he would have, you would have to say, well, Paul, you're a heretic. I'm not going to follow you. But see, Paul never did that. He never said that. But they think that he did. Well, we only use that example to show that even if you think he did, Paul didn't have the authority to do that. Paul can't, you know, abolish Scripture. Now, Paul did not abolish Scripture. See, the problem is they do not understand Paul. You know, Paul did not claim to have some new knowledge, some new teaching. Ted, you remember there was a smart aleck little twerp a couple years ago at the motel where we had Passover. We rented their banquet room and we had a Passover meal there. And I came out and you were having a conversation with him, and you were quoting this verse out of 1 Corinthians 11 to him. And he got into a KJV thing on you because of the way the verse was worded.
Yeah, it's a very clear verse. You know, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's how the New King James renders it. But this guy went, whoa, let's check it out in the King James Version. And it says follow instead of imitate. I said, okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, like
follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah.
As if that changed anything. You know?
In other words, the guy's saying, well, you know, when Jesus is walking around, you're supposed to follow behind him. You know, walk the same road, you know, I-65 or whatever.
It means walk the walk and talk the talk. It means the way of life. What Jesus did, Paul did. Paul's saying that we should follow and imitate him just like he followed and or imitated Christ.
And what was Paul like? Well, let's see. He was blameless before the law. He kept the Sabbath. He kept all the feasts. He did not keep Christmas. You know, what can I say?
You know, the reason I bring this up as an example is this little guy, he was going down to cemetery on Beaver Creek Road, not too far from our church, just down the road, and he wanted to become a missionary. So here he was going down to the apostate higher institutes of learning, not that one, but I mean all of them, almost all of them, because they all teach the same thing. They assign their terminology, not God's. And people get wrapped up in, well, does it say imitate or does it say follow? It means the same thing. Unless you're going to say, like you said, well, okay, it doesn't mean do like Jesus did. He walked down such and such highway. That means you've got to walk down that highway. Now, you can do anything you want walking, you know, smoke your cigarettes, get drunk on your Jack Daniels, lust after a few people walking down the road as you pass them by, you know. But as long as you're following him, as long as you're walking on that same road, anything you do, it's okay. We see how ridiculous that argument is. But we bring it up for an example because this is the way that people get their minds twisted in the higher institutes of learning.
It's also called sidestepping the issue.
That's right. That's why we call it cemetery, because they go in there on fire for God and they come out brain dead. Because they weed the self-motivated and self-thinkers out. See, because they can't give them that certificate, that piece of paper, that stamp of approval. Because if you don't swallow the party line, you can't join the party. All right, here's how you contact us. The Seventh-day Church of God, the sponsor of the Simple Truth Show, meets every Sabbath, that's Saturday, at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are not like any church service you have ever attended. Is something missing in your relationship with God? Has God put a burning desire in your heart for you to draw near to Him? Do you need help in learning how to do that? We are located at 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. That's 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Central Point Business Park. This is just south of Callahan Road on Central Avenue Pike.
exit I-75 at the Callahan Road exit. That's one exit just north of Merchants Drive. The church is in the north side of the building.